To think is to conceive incompletely, because all thought relates only to the local. We metaphysicians, of course, like to have the notion that we think of the unthinkable. As to opinions, or pronouncements, I should say, because they always have such an authoritative air, of other chemists, there is an analysis in Nature, 68-54, giving water and organic matter at 9.08%. It's that carrying out of fractions that's so convincing. The substance is identified as sand from the Sahara. The vastness of this fall. In Nature, 68-65, we are told that it had occurred in Ireland, too. The Sahara, of course, because, prior to February 19, there had been dust storms in the Sahara, disregarding that in that great region there's always, in some part of it, a dust storm. However, just at present, it does look reasonable that dust had come from Africa, via the Canaries. The great difficulty that authoritativeness has to contend with is some other authoritativeness. When an infallibility clashes with a pontification. They explain. Nature, March 5, 1903. Another analysis, 36% organic matter. Such disagreements don't look very well, so, in Nature, 68-109, one of the differing chemists explains. He says that his analysis was of muddy rain, and the other was of sediment of rain. We're quite ready to accept excuses from the Most High, though I do wonder whether we're quite so damned as we were, if we find ourselves in a gracious and tolerant mood toward the powers that condemn, but the tax that now comes upon our good manners and unwillingness to be too severe. Nature, 68-223. Another chemist. He says it was 23.49% water and organic matter. He identifies this matter as sand from an African desert, but after deducting organic matter. But you and I could be identified as sand from an African desert, after deducting all there is to us except sand. Why we cannot accept that this fall was of sand from the Sahara, omitting the obvious objection that in most parts the Sahara is not red at all, but is usually described as dazzling white. The enormousness of it, that a whirlwind might have carried it, but that, in that case it would be no supposititious, or doubtfully identified whirlwind, but the greatest atmospheric cataclysm in the history of this earth. Jure. Roy. Met. SOC, 30-56. That, up to the 27th of February, this fall had continued in Belgium, Holland, Germany, and Austria, that in some instances it was not sand, or that almost all the matter was organic, that a vessel had reported the fall as occurring in the Atlantic Ocean, midway between Southampton and the Barbados. The calculation is given that, in England alone, 10 million tons of matter had fallen. It had fallen in Switzerland, Simons Met. Mag, March, 1903. It had fallen in Russia, Bull. Commander Geolog, 22-48. Not only had a vast quantity of matter fallen several months before, in Australia, but it was at this time falling in Australia, Victorian Naturalist, June, 1903, enormously red mud 50 tons per square mile. The Wessex explanation. Or that every explanation is a Wessex explanation, by that I mean an attempt to interpret the enormous in terms of the minute, but that nothing can be finally explained, because by truth we mean the universal, and that even if we could think as wide as universality, that would not be requital to the cosmic quest, which is not for truth, but for the local. That is true, not to universalize the local, but to localize the universal, or to give to a cosmic cloud absolute interpretation in terms of the little dusty roads and lanes of Wessex. I cannot conceive that this can be done. I think of high approximation. Our intermediatist concept is that, because of the continuity of all things, which are not separate, positive, or real things, all pseudo-things partake of the underlying, or are only different expressions, degrees, or aspects of the underlying, so then that a sample from somewhere in anything must correspond with a sample from somewhere in anything else. That, by due care in selection, and disregard for everything else, or the scientific and theological method, the substance that fell, February, 1903, could be identified with anything, or with some part or aspect of anything that could be conceived of. With sand from the Sahara, sand from a barrel of sugar, or dust of your great-great-grandfather. Different samples are described and listed in the Journal of the Royal Meteorological Society, 3057, or we'll see whether my notion that a chemist could have identified some one of these samples as from anywhere conceivable is extreme or not. Similar to brick dust, in one place, buff or light brown, in another place, chocolate-colored and silky to the touch and slightly iridescent, gray, red rust color, reddish raindrops and gray sand, dirty gray, quite red, yellow-brown, with a tinge of pink, deep yellow clay color. In nature, it is described as of a peculiar yellowish cast in one place, reddish somewhere else, and salmon-colored in another place. Or there could be real science if there were really anything to be scientific about. Or the science of chemistry is like a science of sociology, prejudiced in advance, because only to see is to see with a prejudice, setting out to prove that all inhabitants of New York came from Africa. Very easy matter. Samples from one part of town. Disregard for all the rest. There is no science but Wessex science. According to our acceptance, there should be no other, but that approximation should be higher, that metaphysics is super evil, that the scientific spirit is of the cosmic quest. Our notion is that, in a real existence, such a quasi-system of fables as the science of chemistry could not deceive for a moment, but that in an existence endeavoring to become real, it represents that endeavor, and will continue to impose its pseudo-positiveness until it be driven out by a higher approximation to realness. That the science of chemistry is as impositive as fortune-telling. Or no. That, though it represents a higher approximation to realness than does alchemy, for instance, and so drove out alchemy, it is still only somewhere between myth and positiveness. The attempt at realness, or to state a real and unmodified fact here, is the statement. All red rains are colored by sands from the Sahara Desert. My own impositivist acceptances are. That some red rains are colored by sands from the Sahara Desert. Some by sands from other terrestrial sources. Some by sands from other worlds, or from their deserts, also from aerial regions too indefinite or amorphous to be thought of as worlds or planets. That no supposititious whirlwind can account for the hundreds of millions of tons of matter that fell upon Australia, Pacific Ocean, and Atlantic Ocean and Europe in 1902 and 1903, that a whirlwind that could do that would not be supposititious. But now we shall cast off some of our own wessicality by accepting that there have been falls of red substance other than sand. We regard every science as an expression of the attempt to be real. But to be real is to localize the universe I, or to make some one thing as wide as all things, successful accomplishment of which I cannot conceive of. The prime resistance to this endeavor is the refusal of the rest of the universe to be damned, excluded, disregarded, to receive Christian science treatment, by something else so attempting. Although all phenomena are striving for the absolute or have surrendered to and have incorporated themselves in higher attempts, simply to be phenomenal, or to have seeming in intermediateness is to express relations. A river. It is water expressing the gravitational relation of different levels. The water of the river. Expression of chemic relations of hydrogen and oxygen which are not final. A city. Manifestation of commercial and social relations. How could a mountain be without base in a greater body? Storekeeper live without customers. The prime resistance to the positivist attempt by science is its relations with other phenomena, or that it only expresses those relations in the first place. Or that a science can have seeming, or survive in intermediateness, as something pure, isolated, positively different, no more than could a river or a city or a mountain or a store. This intermediateness-wide attempt by parts to be wholes which cannot be realized in our quasi-state, if we accept that in it the coexistence of two or more wholes or universals is impossible, high approximation to which, however, may be thinkable. Scientists and their dream of pure science. Artists and their dream of art for art's sake. It is our notion that if they could almost realize, that would be almost realness, that they would instantly be translated into real existence. Such thinkers are good positivists, but they are evil in an economic and sociologic sense, if, in that sense, nothing has justification for being, unless it serve, or function for, or express the relations of, some higher aggregate. So science functions for and serves society at large, and would, from society at large, receive no support, unless it did so divert itself or dissipate and prostitute itself. It seems that by prostitution I mean usefulness. There have been red rains that, in the Middle Ages, were called rains of blood. Such rains terrified many persons, and were so unsettling to large populations, that science, in its sociologic relations, has sought, by Mrs. Eddy's method, to remove an evil. That rains of blood do not exist. That rains so-called are only of water colored by sand from the Sahara Desert. My own acceptance is that such assurances, whether fictitious or not, whether the Sahara is a dazzling white desert or not, have wrought such good effects, in a sociologic sense, even though prostitutional in the positivist sense, that, in the sociology sense, they were well justified.